But at thy word I will let down my net. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As Catholics, we must believe that Christ is our hope, not our natural abilities. As baptized souls, Christ is the ultimate reason for our every activity, and it has to be so, because Christ is our hope. And without hope, there is no movement. We wouldn't move a muscle without hope. Hope itself motivates movement itself. If there were nothing to hope for, we wouldn't pursue anything. We would wither away immobile. Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net. This is St. Peter's bewildered reply to our Lord today. It is a prayer of sorts, because we can hear an expression of hope in it. In each prayer, there's a proclamation of hope. Supernatural hope speaks through it. And the church well understands this. She understands that Jesus is the embodiment of her hope. So at the conclusion of every one of her official prayers in the liturgy, she says, Per Christum Dominum Nostrum. Christ is who St. Paul calls the sure and firm anchor of our soul. And the church teaches that this sure and firm anchor is absolutely sure and firm. Our hope is absolutely certain. Okay, but the nature of this certainty is confusing. It's confusing. Even St. Bonaventure says the nature of this certainty is hard to define. On the one hand, hope is infallible because it's partaking in the infallibility of our faith. We know for certain that God is all-merciful and that he's all-powerful, and he desires the salvation of all men, ourselves included. From that perspective, our hope is certain. On the other hand, it's not guaranteed that we as individuals will persevere to the end, that we'll persevere in grace. As long as we're pilgrims on earth, we're more than capable of abusing our free will and killing the life of grace within us. The Council of Trent puts it this way. Although all must place the firmest hope in God's help, no one must promise himself anything with absolute certainty. Those who believe themselves to stand should take care lest they fall and should work out their salvation in fear and trembling. That is, they must fear, knowing that they have been born again unto the hope of glory, but not yet unto glory itself. So this side of heaven will never have this subjective certainty of our salvation. But we can be certain that Providence has placed us on a most secure path. We've been baptized into the Catholic Church, made members of the mystical body of Christ, and we have every right to expect God's help in all of our endeavors. We're spiritual and material creatures, so we can expect God's help in our spiritual deeds and in our corporal deeds. We have to understand that supernatural hope, it can rejuvenate us. Rejuvenate is the key word. It makes us young again. In our natural experience, youth and hope, they go hand in hand. The two ideas are almost inseparable. The figure of youth is the symbol of hope. St. Thomas Aquinas says, youth is a cause of hope. For youth, the future is long and the past is short. In other words, the future is full of promise. And with the advance of life, though, our hope naturally dissipates. Joseph Pieper puts it this way, natural hope, it blossoms with the strength of youth, but it withers when youth withers. So as we approach old age, we no longer have that seemingly endless future to look forward to. We're just left with memories of the past, of a long past. That's the trajectory of natural hope. The inevitable trajectory of natural hope. not supernatural hope. Supernatural hope, it transcends age. It's rooted in a much more substantial youthfulness because it's rooted in our baptism. Baptism bestows on us a future, a promise of a long, long future. That however long we've lived in life, our past is short in comparison to that. So the theological virtue of hope, in short, it gives us the power to wait patiently for that future, to wait patiently for that future, and to work for it. And in the meanwhile, that virtue overflows into our everyday lives. It rejuvenates us. It rejuvenates our natural powers. And this is testified to in the lives of countless saints. Just take Archbishop Lefebvre, for instance. He was approaching the end of a very successful career in the church. He was approaching his mid-60s, readying himself for retirement. And then he was reading the signs of providence in his life, that he had a lot more work to do. And so he, like St. Peter today, he expressed a consternation, but he let down his net and he founded the Society of St. Pius X. Only supernatural hope can inspire magnanimity in such an old man. And he ended up working another quarter century. This was completely unplanned. But he hoped. He worked and labored in hope. Joseph Pieper again, he says that supernatural hope alone can bestow on man that adaptability and readiness, that strong-hearted freshness, that resilient joy, that steady perseverance in trust that so distinguish the young and make them lovable. The hopeful man is ever youthful because he's living the life of God himself, who St. Augustine calls younger than all else. And it's for these reasons that we can never be more youthful than when we're longing for heaven. That's a sign of our supernatural youthfulness. And this youthfulness, it can't be compromised by age or by past disappointments. St. Paul tells us, even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is yet being renewed day by day. And if there's one character in sacred scripture that expresses this virtue more than anybody else, it's Job, the character of Job. He responds to all the apparent disappointments of his life. And he says, although he, God, should slay me, I will trust him. I will hope in him. We live in an age without hope. We live in a desperate age. And the reason for its desperation is because it's trying to avoid death at all costs. In essence, we're living in an age that's terrified of aging. There's a cult of youthfulness, and it's completely misunderstood the youth that God can give us. Only God can restore our youth. It's not a diet. It's not exercise, cosmetics, vaccines. Only God can restore our youth. The prophet Isaiah, he's trying to encourage a weary nation of Israel. And he tells them that they that hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall take wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our Lord is pushing all of us to great things, and he's not going to listen to our objections of fatigue. He'll tell us today, fear not, because he knows that we're young at soul. He won't listen to the objections. He wants us to read the signs of God and the design of providence in our own lives and to act on it, to labor in hope. And if we hope in God, we'll be astonished, like St. Peter and the Apostles, by what our Lord can still accomplish in us. And therefore we cast our nets. They can be the rather discreet nets of prayer and sacrifice working in the background, or they can be the more visible nets of actively living out our Catholic life in public. we probably won't see the results in this life. But what's guaranteed is everyone caught up in our nets will be thanking us in the next life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.